Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Party Foul here in Cool Springs. Once again, this is the home for the watch party tonight. It is going to be packed with Predators fans. They want you here. If you don't know where to watch the game, no place better than Party Foul here in Cool Springs. Adam Vingan will join us in 1 hour. And in the 4 o'clock hour, we will have a giveaway. We're going to give away Kings of Leon tickets, so be listening for your chance to win that. So I think sometimes it's always fun to be the guy who has nothing to lose. When I worked in other markets, I was starting my career, and I was kind of always looking at other jobs maybe a little bit. And I liked my time in Louisville, and I liked my time in New Hampshire, and I did, but I was always looking at other jobs, and I was cool with it because they kind of knew that deep down inside I didn't want to be there for forever. I didn't have much to lose. I liked my job, but what did you have to lose? Caroline, when you applied for this job, what did you have to lose?
I told you I applied to this job because I was reaching for the moon and stars. I thought the worst thing that's going to happen is they tell me no. The absolute best thing they can do for me is put me on the show, and here I am.
So there you go. So what'd you have to lose? You had nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
When you are a prohibitive underdog, which the Nashville Predators are, normally you go into these things with nothing to lose. And I think it's easy to say, none of us expected the Predators to knock off the Carolina Hurricanes in this series. I picked them in 5. Caroline picked them in 6. Ian picked them in 6. I think it was ESPN 15 of 15 picked the Carolina Hurricanes. In fact, I don't know anybody who actually picked the Predators. At least when the Preds played the Blackhawks in 17, the local media just picked the Predators up and down, and the GM was all about it, though I think that was more about me than it was him actually believing the Predators were going to win the series. But they had nothing to lose. And I looked at this series and I thought, do the Predators go into this series with nothing to lose? Because no one's expecting them to win it, so if no one's expecting you to win it, then why not go out there and have fun? And if you lose, then hey, that was what was expected. But go out there and have fun because you've got nothing to lose. And I was wondering, do we need to kind of reset how we feel? After game one, everybody was mad. Mad at Ryan Ellis, mad at Ryan Johansson, mad at the coach for his lineups, mad, mad, mad. And I thought, when you're such an underdog and you're tied 2-2 going to the third, you should see that as a great thing, like a good opportunity, like, hey, got nothing to lose. It's like, Vanderbilt football going up against Florida, Georgia, Alabama. They got nothing to lose. Go out there and let it go. But the more I think about it, the more I wonder if this group does have something to lose. John Hines yesterday said, when asked about the lineup, said that, in fact, it's the guys who will always be in the lineup that need to do more. And we coined it the Do More Crew. And I think it's fair to call them that. Ryan Johansson is in the Do More Crew. Cali Yarncroak is in the Do More Crew, although Yarncroak does his job 99% of the time. Matt Duchene is in the Do More Crew. Ryan Ellis is part of the Do More Crew. That's the group that they need more from. The guys they're paying a lot of money to, they need better results from. Mikhail Granlund, a big part of this turnaround. I think Robbie Stanley said today he's got 3 points in his career in 3 different playoffs with the Predators. He needs to do more. He's part of the Do More Crew. But can the Do More Crew really look at this as if they have nothing to lose? Again, the expectations for the team are that they're going to lose the series. And when you have those expectations, normally you just let it ride and say, hey, we're going to give it our best shot. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work and we move on. But this kind of feels like it's the last chance for the Do More Crew. And it felt like John Hines talking about it openly, about the Do More Crew needing to do more, kind of makes it feel like it's the last chance for the Do More Crew. We talked on Monday about whether or not this was the last chance for Johansson and the last chance for Matt Duchene. But we don't totally see a route for them to move those contracts at the end of the year. Perhaps Ryan Ellis is exposed to Seattle in the expansion draft so that he's no longer here. Perhaps he can't play like there's nothing to lose because he's part of the Do More Crew. I will say this, and I was kind of saving this for if they lost in 4 or 5 games, this kind of being the way I feel. I'm willing to ride it out this playoff run. You know I wanted to sell at the trade deadline. I'm willing to ride it out and see how far they can go with this group. But I'm kind of ready to move on. You know, the 2017 group, the core of that team, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on from Johansson. I'm ready to move on from Arvidsson. I'm ready to move on from all the guys that you got your warm fuzzies about on that playoff run, which made a lot of people hockey fans. I think it's done. I think it's over. You know, you had your crack at it the next year with Winnipeg. You won the division in 19 against Dallas. You really started to struggle. You fired the coach. You were in the bubble. You didn't win there. That was a weird year. Then you kind of break up a little bit. I mean, you take out the bottom of that core, Bonino and Watson and Turris, and you take out those guys, but you kind of keep the group together. Like, I'm ready to move on. I really am. Now, guys like Josi and Forsberg, and they stay, and the young guys get their opportunities to prove whether or not they should be here. But I personally, if they don't win this series, am ready to move on. But is that the way that they feel? Like, do they know that? Like, is that how the team feels? Does the team feel that if the Do More crew doesn't do more, then it's time to just break it all up and get rid of an Arvidsson? Or try to get rid of Johansson and Duchesne, try to move on from Ryan Ellis. Guys that, you know, were foundational pieces that, hey, you start this run, these are your guys. And if that's the case, can the players play like they have nothing to lose when it is, in fact, their jobs that could be in the balance? If I owned the team or if I ran the team, their jobs would be in the balance, barring a playoff run right here, because I don't think that this core can compete for the Stanley Cup, and that's what I care about. So I don't know. Again, people were mad after game one. I mean, mad. And they weren't even expected to win. And they were mad. But the Preds should be playing with nothing to lose, so we should reset our expectations. But then, is this it for the Do More crew? I don't know. What do you think?
I think people have every right to be mad, because I think people kind of in the middle of the season didn't expect them to make the playoffs. And then when they went on this run, that's when expectations started to turn.
Sure.
And I think once you get closer and closer to that end goal of making the second round, going to the Stanley Cup Finals, even though that's very, very far away, it starts to feel closer and closer. Mm-hmm. So whenever it starts to get further away, you get frustrated, you get mad because sure. You think you've overcome so much, so you deserve more than what you're getting. So I totally understand people's anger, people's frustration, because you get emotionally invested in it. I personally think that the Predators should play like they have nothing to lose, because they don't. But I worry about what's waiting on the other side.
Like what happens at the end of the season if they don't win.
Right. What happens with contracts? What happens with draft picks? What, you know, after the trade deadline, David Poile said, you know, let's ride with this team. Okay, great. You know, it's over with. Let's ride with this team. And then what happens once that ride expires?
I'm not a huge believer in the core, which, again, that's more of an off-season discussion than it probably is a day of game two discussion. But can we really say they have nothing to lose if we're then talking about dismantling that group? And those guys literally losing their jobs. I mean, I think about this. Like, right now, the radio station cannot transfer me anywhere. Like, the radio station cannot sell my contract to somebody in Alberta, Canada. Like, they can't do it. They can't send me to Ontario or Quebec or, you know, Eureka, California.
Is beautiful, though.
Or all these places around America that suck. They can't send me to them. They just can't.
Well, those places are in Canada.
Right, but I just brought up Eureka, California.
Okay.
All these places in America that stink, like, they can't send me there. These guys, with the exception of Roman Josi, these guys don't have that option. And that's where it goes into, do they really have nothing to lose? Because they could lose their jobs. They could be expecting to make X amount of dollars. Now you're taxed at a higher tax rate. You're making a lot less. You're living in a place you don't want to live in. It snows all the time wherever you're going to move to or where, whatever. And I do think that that's kind of a, you know, now all of a sudden you do get tense. And I wonder, too, the way the coach talked about it yesterday, the way the coach talked about it today, does he feel free reign to call out the Do More crew because he feels like he has more stability than they do? And that's an interesting element of it as well. So let's take your calls and your text. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Are the Predators playing with nothing to lose? Or are there serious ramifications if they do, in fact, lose this series convincingly against a very good team? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I asked John Hines today about the Do More crew and what he thinks they will do after he challenged them. We'll get to that coming up next. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, it's buy one, get one free. Tickets to Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun, double your savings with BOGO admission. Two parks, two tickets for the price of one. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. We're live at Party Foul in Cool Springs. Once again, 7 o'clock for the watch party tonight. Stillman and Company were delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
How important is it that they set the tone for this group tonight, knowing that you kind of challenged them yesterday after game one?
That's the expectation, Jared. You know, is a lot of the way these things work is that there's, you know, there's guys that are in your lineup or supposed to be in your lineup, you know, every night. And, you know, there's other players that come in, you know, for different reasons. It could be injuries. It could be roles and things like that. But usually on every team, there's some guys in there that you're expecting as an organization to be in your lineup every night, drive the way you play, perform at a high level, and, you know, play their best when it matters the most. And, you know, that's what we need. That's how you win in the playoff. In the regular season, we've done some really good things. You know, we've had a lot of injuries. We've had, I think you look at the depth that we've had, the contributions we've had throughout our team during that time. It's a big reason why we're in the playoffs. But now that we're here, we're going to need our depth. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about lineup changes and who comes in and who comes out. But there are guys that I'm sure you expect watching the team and following the team that you're expecting these guys to be big time players in big time games and drive the team. And that's the expectation.
John Hines is correct. There are guys that I expect to do more that are not doing it. And that is the brand new Do More crew. By the way, right now I have 5 names into the Do More crew. Ryan Johansson, number 1. Ryan Ellis, number 2. Matt Duchesne, number 3. Victor Arvidsson, number 4. Mikhail Granlund, number 5. I feel like Forsberg does his job. I feel like, you know, like Cunning is new and Halla is new and the Herd line, those are role players,
they're
right?
They're new, but they're still producing. But they don't have those massive contracts.
So. Yeah, they don't have the expectations to do more. Like Carrier is doing his job. Carrier's doing his job. Josi had a terrible game in game 1, but for the most part, he does his job. Ekholm does his job. Benning's a third pair defenseman. I mean, to me, that is the Do More crew. Johansson, Ellis, Duchesne, Granlund, Arvidsson. Those guys will not come out of the lineup. They will play in every game in these playoffs if they are healthy, and they are simply not doing enough. Ian, do you want to make an addition or a subtraction from the official Stillman & Company Do More crew?
I think that is fair.
Okay. Do we think that the Do More crew will, in fact, do more tonight now that John Hines has spent 2 days challenging them?
I don't know. I think if there's one person, Ryan Ellis.
Why?
Because I think that if Josi and Ellis are separated tonight, I think you see more of a production from Ryan Ellis.
Because he's playing against worse players?
Yes.
Because he gets less ice time? So, I mean, is that also, I wonder, though, is that like robbing Peter to pay Paul? Because if you switch it and you put Carrier up there with Josi, you put Ellis with Ekholm, you know, is Carrier then going to get exposed if he's out there on the ice against, you know, Nino Niederreiter and Teräväinen? You know, like that first line of Niederreiter, Aho, and Teräväinen.
That's a good first line.
I feel like Carrier's played well, but has he matched up against those lines? Now, again, the Predators don't have the last change. So whoever the third pair is, and Lord help me if it's Ben Harper and Eric Goodbranson. It better not be. I wouldn't play either guy. But
who
as
would
soon
you
as
play?
That, Fabro and Benning.
Benning.
As soon as those two pop over the boards, if I'm Rod Brendamore, I'm throwing Aho's line or Trocheck's line out there on the ice to get the favorable matchup. So maybe it is a better idea. I mean, I think that you got to split it that way. I also am not against the idea of putting Benning up there with Yossi. And again, everybody knows I can't stand
that. I don't hate that.
But putting Benning up there with Yossi and kind of putting each defenseman, that way you can have Fabbro play on a third pair and maybe not have to screw around with that left shot, right shot BS that doesn't matter enough to me. Like, the left shot, right shot thing does not matter enough to me to put Ben Harper out on the ice or Eric Branson out on the ice over Dante Fabbro. Then again, that's me. They're entitled to their opinions. If I had to say somebody in the Do More crew that was going to do more, it's Duchesne. Because he's the only one. Like, Johansson, I've been waiting for Johansson to do more for 4 years. So forget about that. Ellis, too small, not good enough, too frail, gets just eaten alive by bigger players, and now the book's out. Like, now everybody knows it. They all remember what Jamie Benn did to him. They all remember what the Winnipeg Jets did to him. The book's out on Ryan Ellis. Everybody knows. Take the big guys and just knock him back. So I don't really see him improving much. Granlund would be my second choice, other than Duchesne. I just think Duchesne has more talent than Granlund. Granlund will get more of an opportunity and fits the system better than Duchesne. And then there's Arvidsson, and I just think Arvidsson is done. I just think Arvidsson is, he's just a no factor. He's a no factor on offense. He's a no factor on defense. He's a no factor carrying the puck. He's a no factor on the power play. I don't even think they use him much on the penalty kill anymore. I just think Arvidsson is an injured, small, no factor at this point, either in his career or right now, given the injury that we don't know about. But I just don't see much from Arvidsson. So Duchesne and Granlund are probably, in my opinion, your best hope of the Do More crew doing more.
Would you not, if you were John Hines, would you not play Victor Arvidsson tonight?
So it's funny. I wrote out my lines for tonight. I heard the morning show talking about this, and I put Tolvanen back on that first line, though.
I am too.
Very tempted to put Matt Duchesne up there. And this is what I would do, not what John Hines would do. I think I have more faith in Matt Duchesne than John Hines does. I'm very tempted to put Matt Duchesne up there, if for no other reason, just to see what Matt Duchesne can do. I've got, you know, Granlund, Cunnan, Yarncroak. I'm not changing that at all. Halla, Duchesne, and then I put a question mark. Halla, Duchesne, question mark.
And I put Halla, Duchesne, Arvidsson.
So I wrote 33, and then I put, but I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I probably would put Brad Richardson, and I think Brad Richardson stinks. I think I'd put Brad Richardson in over Arvidsson. I think Arvidsson's an absolute no factor. Cousins, you can put in that spot. If you put Cousins in over Richardson, I wouldn't have a hard time with it. But, man, I just think Arvidsson. And we don't drill on Arvidsson like we do Johansson and the other guys, because Arvidsson does always play hard. There's no question whether it's a Tuesday night in November against Calgary of whether or not Arvidsson's giving his all. And I think Arvidsson's giving his all right now. I just don't think Arvidsson does anything anymore. And so that's the Do More crew. Johansson, Ellis, Duchesne, Granlund, Arvidsson. The Do More crew. 615-737-1025. Let's get to your reaction on whether or not we expect them to play better. Will the Preds group, the Do More crew, will they play better? Will there be consequences for them if they don't? 615-737-1025. And the one guy in the Do More crew whose side I'm on, shockingly, that's next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. We, again, are live at Party Foul. I'm telling you all, if you don't know what you're doing for the game tonight, come on out to Party Foul in Cool Springs. It will be packed with Preds fans wearing their gold. The beers will be flowing. The hot chicken will be out. The Not Hot Chicken, where they have a section called Not Hot Chicken. The Loaded Burger, the Nashville Hot Catfish Po' Boy, all that will be out. And, of course, they got their beer, their buckets of beer, 6 for the price of 5. They've got their boozy slushies like the Cherry Limeade.
Fancy.
Or the Loaded Frozen Lemonade or the Bourbon Bushwhacker or you name it. They've got it tonight, Party Foul in Cool Springs. And we're giving away a pair of lower-level tickets for Game 4. And we'll be giving those away during the second period. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Well, Duchesne was always a weird one because, like, he's sort of treated as a star player. He's been acquired to be a star player. And he's not necessarily shown to be at that level on a consistent basis. He's a perfect 2A, or 2A rather, on a team. problem being is that, like you said, they don't have a 1A right now in the way that Johansson's played. And it's really inexplicable, and it's a bummer. I mean, listen, I covered the Cup final when they made it, and I think one of the great what-ifs in recent hockey history is that what if he was healthy for that playoff, for the latter parts of that playoff. But from the outside looking in, it's a conundrum. And it's one of those deals where if you're looking for changes to be made going forward, it obviously has to be not to have those two guys making that kind of money both at the same position and not producing commensurate to that investment.
That was Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, on our show yesterday. And Matt Duchene, it's funny. They chased after him so hard. David Poile for years reportedly trying to get Matt Duchene, couldn't get Matt Duchene. So he went out and he got Kyle Turris. And then he got Kyle Turris, and Kyle Turris sucked. So then he went out and he traded PK Subban to free up the money for Matt Duchene. And then he got Matt Duchene. And so far, Matt Duchene hasn't done much. But I'm going to side with Matt Duchene because I don't feel like John Hines has given him enough of an opportunity, or at least didn't give him enough of an opportunity in game one. And I asked Hines yesterday about Duchene, and he hinted at the idea that tonight he may give Duchene more of an opportunity. Here's what John Hines said.
I think as far as Matt, I thought Matt played pretty well. I think that there's some opportunities to get him in there a little bit more, you know, which we will. Sometimes it's the matchups and the way the game goes, but you know, I thought Matt won a lot of puck battles in the offensive zone. He had the nice assist. I thought a lot of with the amount that we killed and to come back off the lines, but we're going to need both those guys to be real strong players for us here moving forward.
So when I put together my lines, I have Tolvanen on the first line, but I do think there can be an argument for Duchene on that first line just to give Duchene a chance to say, okay, we're going to put you on the first line. We're going to put you on the first power play. Show us you belong. Go do something. I think I side with Duchene. I think Duchene deserves a chance. And I wonder if we're going to get it tonight from John Hines. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Fenton is on the text line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what is in the text line?
Funny that you mentioned Kyle Turris, because Christian from Clarksville did as well. He said, at what point do we start to compare Matt Duchene to Kyle Turris? They were both brought in to add some threat to the second line, and both did a whole lot of nothing when they got here.
So I think at the end of the day, when you look up the assets given up by the Predators to acquire those two guys and the production that you've gotten so far from both of them, they will go down as two of the worst transactions in the history of the franchise. The Turris trade is by far the worst trade of the Nashville Predators ever. And I look back at how desperate they were for Duchene, and they couldn't get Duchene then. And then how they still got Duchene because Turris wasn't doing enough, and it makes my blood absolutely boil. I think it's different between Turris and Duchene. Turris clearly didn't have the talent that he was acquired to produce. And while he showed it for like the first 4 months or 3 months or whatever it was when they acquired him in the 2017-18 season, he never was really that good. And then he and Laviolette bumped heads, and he was a $6 million center, not an $8 million center, so it was a little different, but probably not much. I mean, I think Duchene's just trying so hard, but I'm not sure he's been given the right opportunity. And I think for some reason, maybe I'm crazy, we went over the guys in the Dumore crew. Like, I think Ryan Ellis is maxed out, tapped out. I think Arvidsson is tapped out, maxed out. That's all he is. I think Johansson, we've waited long enough. Like, enough is enough. Okay, that's what you are. Move on. And I think Duchene. And I think there's something there still with Duchene. And maybe I'm crazy, but I think that I'm not willing to give up on Duchene, which is why I think they should give Duchene more of a chance. And I would think about putting him on that first line with Forsberg and Johansson tonight and saying, okay, I'm going to look at Niederreiter, Aho, and Teräväinen, and I'm going to run my three high-paid guys that have experience and have played well in the playoffs in the past. I'm running them out there. And if they can't go toe-to-toe with those guys, if they can't match up with those kind of guys, then they're not for me. Then it's time to figure out a way. I know it will be difficult, but it's time to figure out a way to move on from some of these guys. That's what you need, honestly, more than just winning in the playoffs. What you need is to figure out who's really a part of this group. Who really is the long-term future of the Predators? Which is a reason that I thought it was kind of foolish to sit Tolvanen and Fabbro, because I need them to get the experience if they're part of the long-term plan. I need to see if Duchesne is part of the long-term plan. Johansson, Arvidsson, those guys are part of my long-term plan. That's what I went into with for this season. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, no, I'm not ready to give him the Kyle Turris pay what you owe label yet, but it is time to pay what you owe. What else we got?
Well, I think if John Hines is adopting that let's play like we have nothing to lose mindset, then I think he would put Duchesne on the first line, because let's say if he puts Duchesne on the first line and it works and they win this game, then great. If it doesn't work, then you're down 2-0 in the first series, a series that we don't really necessarily.
But do you think Hines is coaching like
that? But I don't think that he is.
Do you think he's coaching like that? Do you think he's coaching like they have nothing to lose?
I don't think so. But also,
I do wonder this. I do wonder this. The fingers are coming for Poile if they don't win this series. If they get totally outclassed by Carolina, the fingers are going to be pointed at David Poile. And they should be. I'm just telling it how it is here. Hines has done a fantastic job coaching this team this year. I think he deserves Jack Adams' votes. I think he's done a great job. But if they fire Poile, or Poile retires, or they, you know, again, whatever nice way you want it to be for take away the hockey decisions from David Poile, if that happens, Hines might as well be as good as gone, because all a new general manager or president of hockey ops or whatever you want to call it, all that guy's going to do is wait for your team to slip up a little bit, and he's going to fire Hines and bring in his own coach. So I do wonder if Hines was so desperate to try that we're going to punch him in the mouth mentality, not because it was necessarily best for the team, but because he thought that was the best way to try to win game one, and he wants to win game one because he wants to win this series and he wants to stick around a little bit. But that is all a very roundabout thing. I don't think anybody, again, we have no expectations for this team to win the series. That doesn't mean that the coach, like, that it's not probably, like, that it's not in his benefit to win this series. I mean, Peter Laviolette went to the first round of the playoffs, got fired less than a year later after having gone past the first round three consecutive seasons before that. So the first round is really nothing special, but I'm with you. I don't think Hines is coaching it like he has nothing to lose, and he's certainly not coaching it like getting experience is a big deal down the stretch. What else we have?
Right. One texter texted in and said, not taking into account contracts and money, which players would you keep or get rid of? So money is off the table. Contracts are off the table. First person you would pluck out.
So I can just literally get rid of guys?
Yeah.
Johansson's gone. Granlund's not getting re-signed.
Arvidsson's gone.
Arvidsson is for sure gone. Ellis is gone. And I'd think real long and hard about Duchesne. You know what I mean?
I think I would hold on to Duchesne just for a little bit longer.
But I think Hines likes him the least.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Hines likes Granlund a lot more than he likes Duchesne. So I don't know what. Again, you're asking me what I would do. Then again, Poile, you know, sold his soul to get Duchesne. So, and that's where all these mixed messages are coming in. And that's where it's hard to figure out what this team actually wants to do. What's next?
Another texter texted in and said, here's a hot take for you. We're all for that. Hot take, hot chicken. We're at Party Foul. Do you think Carolina took it easy on the Preds the weekend they won to clinch the playoffs so they didn't have to face Dallas? And now they're taking them to the woodshed because they know them.
No, no, yes. No, I don't think that they took it easy on the Predators so that they could play Dallas. Yes, I think they took it easy on the Predators in that Monday night game. So, again, the Dallas thing was already over with by the time that Monday night game happened. So you're really asking, do we think Carolina took it easy on the Predators on that Saturday night? Here's what I think. I think Rod Brendamore wanted to hold anything that he had in his back pocket that he was going to use. He wanted to hold that one in there because he wanted to see what Nashville was going to do when they had to win the game. You know, they're going to give you their best strategy. They're going to give you their best crack at it. I think Rod Brendamore probably did it that way. But to answer the question is, do I think that Saturday night that Carolina wasn't going 100%? No, I think Carolina was trying. Now, I think Carolina played hard in that Saturday night game. That was a good win.
That was a good win.
A legitimately good win. Adam Vingan will join us at the top of next hour, 615-737-1025. We will hit the headlines with Caroline coming up next, 615-737-1025. You know what season it is? It's moving season. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. TriStar Moving, my official movers. With TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. Everything will be taken care of, and TriStar Moving does their best to make it as stress-free as possible. And I am not just saying that. I'm telling you, I used TriStar Moving, and they were fantastic, both at my old house and at my new house. And there's a lot of things. I'm a stressed-out guy. There were a lot of things that I was worried about that TriStar Moving absolutely took care of. Robert and Garrett, the owners of TriStar Moving, they will ensure that you will have a great experience. And I know that because I know them. They're true Nashvillians, and they care about helping this community. TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. TriStar Moving, my official movers. Stillman & Company's live from Party Foul, again in Cool Springs, right by the Cool Springs Mall on Galleria Boulevard. And again, tonight, watch party, 7 o'clock. If you do not know where you're watching the game tonight, you want to watch it with a bunch of Preds fans, Party Foul in Cool Springs is the place to be tonight. Again, maybe get in here around 6:45-ish. Make sure you got a good seat. I mean, I'm looking at all the TVs. They will have the Titans, the Preds game on wall to wall tonight, and there'll be a bunch of Preds fans in here wearing their gold, rooting on the Predators. You can win a pair of lower-level tickets to Sunday's game number 4, 1:30 start time. They'll be giving those away in the second period. Okay, it's time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Preds talk is dominating the show today, as it should. Huge game tonight, but I've got a little bit of a football chaser for you today in the headlines. I heard you and Chris talking a bit about this earlier, but I kind of wanted to give my two cents about Travis Etienne taking reps at wide receiver in the Jags rookie minicamp. And my first initial thought was, what in the world is Urban Meyer thinking? He's the ACC's all-time rushing leader. You drafted him in the first round. If you want a wide receiver, why not just draft a wide receiver? But then I thought about it. It's May. He's taking reps at wide receiver at minicamp. If he's doing this in training camp and in OTAs in August, then yes, I think it's cause for concern. But it's May, and I'm not going to throw up the warning flags yet. And the absolute worst thing that could happen is he doesn't play at wide receiver. And the best thing that could happen is that you have Travis Etienne as a dual threat at wide receiver and running back. So I don't absolutely hate the idea of Travis Etienne taking reps at wide receiver.
So I think that's what Urban Meyer was going for, too, is the idea of, hey, we're going to get him up to be this kind of, but he's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not that kind of player. Like Derrick Henry, for example, literally cannot catch the ball. There's no point in trying to get Derrick Henry to catch the ball. I was listening to Tim Hasselbeck on the Midday Show, and Tim's called a lot of those Clemson games on the ACC Network, and Tim was like, he's not Le'Veon Bell. He's worked really hard to become an adequate pass catcher out of the backfield, but he is not a pass-catching running back. I think that's one of those things. Either you have it or you don't. But, like, I'm not moving Alvin Kamara to wide receiver. I'm not moving Le'Veon Bell to wide receiver. I'm not moving Clyde Edwards-Helaire to wide receiver. That is a position that those guys play. I think in the NFL it's hard enough. Now, running back may be a little different because it may be easier, but I think it's hard enough in the NFL to learn the position that you're supposed to play. And I think this is another gimmicky, college, stupid Urban Meyer thing. And I love what Urban Meyer is doing in Jacksonville because it looks as Looney Tunes as we thought it was going to be when he was hired.
And I guess I was just kind of wishful thinking because I thought surely Urban Meyer doesn't have another gimmick that he's pulling out of his back pocket for, what, the second time in 2 weeks? First we had Tim Tebow, now we have this. I was hoping he had some sort of legit strategy with it, which I think in his head that he did. And I don't hate it. I just hate it if it's August and it's OTAs and Travis Etienne is lining up as wide receiver.
Yeah, Urban's a Looney Tune. And Urban thinks he knows better than everybody else. That's not going to change. You know, the idea that Urban thinks that he knows everything, that is going to stay around for forever because it's worked for him so far. What's next?
So the Titans are going to have a joint practice, planning on having a joint practice with the Buccaneers leading up to the week 2 preseason matchup with the Bucs. Bucs head coach Bruce Arians said on the Peter Report podcast, so much of that will depend on how practice goes. If we get in and have good OTAs and good mini camp, hopefully everything goes well so we can set up a week with the Titans. So this would be the second time that the Titans have a joint practice with a Tom Brady team that did it a couple of years ago with the Patriots and now planning on it this year with the Bucs. I think that would be a cool thing.
It would also be another – they did this with the Bucs, I believe, in 2018. I think they had joint practices with the Bucs. We all know Jason Light, the Bucs general manager, John Robinson, all worked for Floyd in New England. They were very close. They took Robinson to Tampa Bay when Light got the general manager job. So they're very close. I think what's really important is I think this is a good opportunity for the Titans, especially that revamped secondary, to kind of get a feel for where they stand. I mean, this is a legit measuring stick. When you have a preseason game and Tom Brady doesn't play, or you have a preseason game and guys are out there, but they're out there for 7 plays, or that's not really a measuring stick. That's like, hey, we learned how to put our pads on today. This is going to be full-out practice. You know, this is going to be the 2-minute drill. This is going to be 7-on-7. And guess what? Christian Fulton, who didn't get a ton of experience last year, you got Chris Godwin. Janoris Jenkins, you got Mike Evans. Caleb Farley, if he's healthy, you got Antonio Brown. I mean, that is an opportunity to learn and to see where you are and to kind of get a feel. Like, if the Titans aren't playing well or they're not very good, they'll get kicked in the teeth in these practices. If the Titans have a good squad and it's coming together, you'll see. You know, hey, Caleb Farley, man, he ran with Chris Godwin, and he broke up a pass, and he picked off Brady, and those things will tell you something. I mean, I remember those Patriot practices, and I thought there was a lot of good in them. So, no, I'm excited. I think I may go down to Tampa Bay and go watch those practices, because I think that what you get out of those practices will be more beneficial for the Titans than anything they do in the preseason, and I think it'll be more beneficial for us observing practice than anything that we would see in the preseason. So I am all for it. And again, a measuring stick, you get to go down there and practice against the Super Bowl champions.
Right, and being around people who are better than you, objectively, brings you up. So I like it too. And Paul Kaharski also reported that the Tennessee Titans are in talks of doing a joint practice with the Falcons as well. So a little Arthur Smith Titans reunion that could potentially happen there.
I think the Titans are big believers that you get more out of practicing against somebody else, so they might as well just go do it. And I do agree with that. What's next?
There were 3 NFL analysts on NFL Network's Good Morning Football a couple days ago, and they had a conversation.
Can I just say for the record, I'm sorry to cut you off, that show sucks. That show sucks, and it could be so much better. But they think it's got to be, like, a cool show. So, like, instead of talking about football, it's like, did you see Johnny's cleats this week? Oh, yeah. Who had the cleat award for the best cleats? Who gives a damn? Like, oh, God, I hate that show. Go ahead.
Well.
I hate that. That show sucks.
Pardon me.
That show sucks. That show is
rotten. Shouldn't have brought it up.
That show.
Sensitive subject.
It has so much potential.
Wow.
And it's so bad. It's like Paul Feinbaum's show. Like, it's, oh my goodness.
Not a Paul Feinbaum guy?
I get it. Like, I understand the market for the Paul Feinbaum show. You know, people that just tune in want to talk about SEC football every day, and it's like, let's go to Bonnie, who's in, you know, Shoals, Alabama. Hi, pal. Like, I get it. But I don't find that interesting. Like, I don't find a show of just taking calls every day interesting. That's what that show is. And I like Feinbaum, and I think Feinbaum likes me. But I just, show,
maybe
I find
anymore,
to just be so boring. But the Good Morning Football, like, if you put on an intelligent football show, like NFL Live on ESPN, I feel like is an intelligent football show. If you put on an intelligent football show, and these hosts are smart enough to talk about it, like, Nate Burleson's a smart football guy, Peter Schrager's a smart enough football guy, Kay Adams is a good host. If you were just to talk football, I think the same people that watch that show would watch it but would enjoy it more because it's about football instead of who got the best cleats. Who's got the best cleats? Like, I don't care. And they ask the dumbest questions with these interviews. It's like, hey, we heard that your teammate said that you dress better on the road than anybody else in the league. Is that true? Like, who cares? Like, why don't you ask me, hey, how important do you think it's going to be for you guys to be able to take on a team that just won the division? Like, that's what I care about. Sorry.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I hate Good Morning Football. And I've never.
To you, I couldn't tell.
I've never gotten that off my chest, but I legitimately hate it.
I'm glad that I could provide this therapy session.
The only interesting parts are, one, when they talk about the Titans, and two, when they have, like, Ian Rappaport come on to give, like, a news update about what's going on in the league. To me, that's it.
Well, different strokes for different folks. Some people might like it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were somebody, do you like that show?
I don't watch it.
So if you like Good Morning Football, that tells me more about you than it does about whatever it is that you want to tell me about Good Morning Football. Like, if you're like,
sheesh,
yo, I watch Good Morning Football every morning and they talked about, okay, all right, I know what I can talk with you about and I know what I cannot talk with you about. I can talk to you about quarterbacks and star players like Odell Beckham, but I can't talk to you about things that actually matter in the NFL if you watch that show, because that show does not cover the things that actually matter in the NFL. And I'm sorry that I literally just dumped on your news update.
Well, now I don't really want to share my update about Good Morning Football.
That's okay, because we got to get to Adam Thinking anyways.
All right.
But I just went on that rant.
I'll share it next time.
I just went on that rant about Good Morning Football. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think I hated Good Morning Football that much until I just went on that rant.
I beg to differ. I feel like you do.
I mean, I knew I didn't like it, but I mean, never
that's
knew
just
that
like,
I...
That's been brewing for a while. That's not like, oh, you know, not for me. That's I hate everything that you say and everything that you stand for.
Well, it's like when it comes on YouTube TV, when I turn on YouTube TV and they automatically just pick a random channel. Do they do that to you too?
Yeah.
Like they automatically pick a random channel they think you want to watch. So they'll put that on for me and I cannot get it off my TV fast enough. But if you want to tell me who's got the best cleats in the league, that's your show. Adam Vinken will join us next. Adam, who does that? Alvin Kamara?
Probably.
Adam Vinken will join us next. His thoughts on game two, what John Hines will do with the lineup, that and more. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Party Foul in Cool Springs. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.